So even as we start, we have been talking through aspects and that whole area of rebuilding, and we finished off last week. But one of the key things I've noted during this period of time is that if there's one message that has as well reverberated in my heart, time in, time out, is that whole aspect of talking through faith and the importance of faith. And that's why each and every Sunday standing up, I want to give you something practical you can do to activate your faith. Because you know what? This is one of the times when our faith is tested, more than any other time, more than any other season. And this is why it is important to remember that every single day your faith is leaking. And so if you do not have sufficient ways to fill up on that tank of faith, then just like a car, whenever it is not fueled, it comes to a point the car grinds to a halt. And we talked through as well aspects of how weeds grow naturally. Doubts, anxieties, fears, they will always grow naturally despite you being able to say you are mindful of what you're watching, seeing, saying, and the people around you. And so to fight against these weeds, we must be able to be intentional about us ensuring that we keep on planting the seeds and the crops that we need to have in our hearts, in our lives, and in our walk. And I said, regardless of how long you've been saved, that is not an exclusion criteria for you not to face fear, doubt, and anxieties. Hello? Let me say it again. Regardless of how long you've been saved, that is not an exclusion criteria that it will say that because you've been saved 5 years, then this one, we did not need to, the weeds of doubt, the weeds of fear will not be planted. And so, because again, faith leaks, it becomes paramount for each and every one of us to be able to have sources where faith is injected in us. And that's why, as a church, we want not just to be, first and foremost, meeting you on Sundays. Because we understand and we know no one feeds only once a week. Hello? No one will say, I'm going to feed on Sunday. And then I'm going to wait for the next Sunday for me to feed again. That's why we have Connect. And if you are not part of Connect, it's a time for you to plug in. And we're doing it online. And for those who are going, it's a mixture of both online and in person. That's why we have prayers on Tuesdays. Sorry, prayers on Thursdays. Such that we can be able to increase the level of just speaking God and increasing our faith tanks. But even that in itself is not enough. Hello? That in itself is not enough. And that's why part of what we are trying to do and part of what we are trying to emphasize is that the same access that I, as Kevin, as a pastor of C3 Church in Nairobi, the same access I have to God is the same access that you have as a child of God. So that you can be able to feed by yourselves. Hello? Hello? So that you can be able to know that on that Monday morning, you can be able to get into the presence of God. On that Tuesday morning, you can be able to get into the presence of the Lord. On that Wednesday, even before we come to connect, you can be able to go into the presence of the Lord. On that Thursday, before the prayers, still, it's not a door that has been locked. You still have those keys to still enter into God's presence. On that Friday, you still have the power, you still have the grace to enter into God's presence. On that Saturday, on this Sunday, as we are together, we are coming as firewood that all of us have fire. Hello? Hello? That as we bring our different firewoods, we are not trying to relight firewood afresh. We are trying to create a bonfire because we are coming together as woods that all of us are on fire. Because this world needs wood, needs people who are on fire for Christ, living active witnesses. We can't be passive anymore. We can't be passive towards what is happening. We can't be passive towards the whole world as in general. Because you know what? If you catch fire, that means the person who comes next to you will receive warmth. Let me say this again. If you catch fire, that means the next person who comes next to you will be able to receive warmth. And that warmth is represented by hope. That warmth is represented by even them catching this fire. That hope is represented, or that warmth is represented by you being able to sit and come by someone who's feeling all drenched out, soaked in water, feeling as if there's no other hope in them, and then you just speak a word. And that in itself will change their perspective. That in itself will change our country, will change nations. Hello? So we spoke about, one, if I can recap, that faith is a switch. It's a switch that we all have to intentionally turn it on. Let me shock you by this statement. You are the one who is responsible for turning this switch on. Hello? That you are responsible, you are in charge, you've been given the mandate to be able to be the one who turns this switch on. It is not me. Hello? It is not Frank as he leads the team. Yes, he would allow us and he would speak and heavens would open, but each of us have our individual responsibilities to be able to turn this switch on. And it is so important, because on a day when Frank is not there, on a day when this stage is not there, how will you switch it on? Because it's only when you know how to switch it on that then with whichever the storm that comes against you, you'll be able to hold on. Hello? Whichever circumstance that we face, because we know how that switch operates. Maybe yours is the one that you need to turn like a gear. That's well and good. Turn it. Learn how to turn it. Learn the shortcuts. Oil the gear so that it's not something that requires a lot of effort. Maybe yours is just a switch. Like this, you come and you just press and it's done. But learn how it works. Like a switch. For those who are like a switch. But it becomes paramount as we talk about where we are heading, because that's what we are going to talk about, where we are heading as a church. That we come and we rise to, sorry, this switch takes time. Yeah, there are some switches that take time. Oh, it's off. Yeah, there's some switches that misbehave as well. But you need to know as well what works for you. What works for you? Because if you say, I am only dependent on Frank for my switch to get on, you're in trouble. If you say you're just waiting for Pastor Kevin, you're in trouble. You may call me at some point. Maybe I may not pick up the phone. Not because I do not love you or like you, but even me, I have to teach you how to turn this switch on. You must be able to, you must be aware of the fact that you can be able that to go before the presence of God Almighty, and He knows you, and He knows you by your name. You know, one of the key messages that transformed my life was when I learned that I have access, that I do not need an intermediary. Of course, this does not mean that we negate from coming to church. It's very important that we come together, we congregate together. We come together and we are able to, as iron sharpens iron, we are sharpening one another. As iron sharpens iron, you know, as we gather together as lit firewood, we are able to, you because you've been praying the whole week, you can come and say, I have a word for Thomas. And today morning when you came, I had a word for you, by the way. I do not know why, but God just gave me a word for you, that it's a new season for you. I'm not sure how that looks like, but God is causing some doors that seemed to be shut to be open. But you see, that is the standard practice for how we gather and when we gather. That because we have been in tune, we've been with the Lord is, he comes and he gives you a word for Collins. And as we gather together, because we are sharpening one another, you can come to Collins and tell Collins, Collins, this is what the Lord says. Let's continue. Now it's on. You know, First Samuel chapter 30, verse 6 says, the last bit, it talks about how David had just come from one victory. They come to their place and they find all their loved ones had been taken away, all their properties had been taken away. And I love that second line of that verse. It says, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. How I look at that scripture is that, and David switched on his faith. David had learned how to switch it on. Because you know what? In the midst of the same people that he had led into victory, he could not find encouragement out of the mass. Because there is a time that you will not even find encouragement even when you are gathered up as a mass. And unless you know how to turn it on, it becomes imperative, because you may find even the people around you are going against you. And hence you learn how to turn on that switch, how to flick it on. Because, you know, this final example, then we can move forward. In the middle of the night, even if you are married, you can't wake up your wife or your husband for them to switch on your faith. Because you will look at them, you will look at them and you ask, how can she be sleeping so soundly when me, I'm feeling as if I need to turn on this switch? Hello, for those who are married, hello? Even more important for those who are not married. Because you can't wake up your boyfriend, girlfriend, fiancé, whoever, to ask them to switch on that faith for you. Someone is calling you a baller. So it's important that you learn. And I learned because there was a day I needed to turn on this switch. I looked and Simba was sound asleep. And even my nudges could not work. And then I was like, oh, let me remember where my switch is. Moving on swiftly. The other aspect about faith, and I just love speaking about faith. I love speaking about faith. Faith is outward looking. Faith is outward looking. And when I mean faith is outward looking, I mean two things. One, that faith is able to look beyond any obstacle. That it is able to look beyond any obstacle. And the second perspective on this is that faith has an eternal perspective. It has an eternal perspective. And I'll read a scripture here. Hebrews 11. I'm going to read portions of this scripture. I'm going to read Hebrews 11 from verse 13. And it says this. All these people died. They had an eternal perspective. Sorry. It's weird hearing yourself as you're speaking. They had an eternal perspective. That whatever they were going through did not count. You know, for those who wear glasses, I've seen Frank sometimes, or Kevin, sometimes you need to pick a wipe and to remove dust from the lenses. Anyway, I'll see where I'm going with this. So for these guys, regardless of what's happening, it's like they constantly wiped off anything that would cloud them from not seeing what was coming ahead. And for them, they were able to see and have an eternal perspective such that regardless of what was happening, they still held on to their faith. This is what this scripture means. So regardless of what was thrown their way, because their perspective and their focus was not on just what was being seen, they were able to see that which was even to come. And so they were able to persevere. So it continues and says that neither did they look back. Because oftentimes it's very easy, especially when going through difficult times, you come to a point and say, what is it? Maybe I need to just go back to where I was. But for these ones, they were like, no, we have no option. We have to move forward. Then it continues and says, but they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. It was by faith that the people of Israel went right through the Red Sea as though they were on dry ground. But when the Egyptians tried to follow, they were all drowned. Women received their loved ones back again from death, but others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind for us so that they would not reach perfection without us. And you can see, it also speaks about how these people are going through difficult obstacles. But what faith does is that if this is an obstacle, faith creates a door through the obstacle. Because it's looking forward. It's able to look beyond the obstacle. It's able to look beyond the circumstance. It's able to look beyond anything that you're going through right now. And that's why it's important that we're able to switch on our faith. Because when you switch on your faith, you are able to have a better perspective of what you're going through. When you put on your faith, when you switch it on, you are able to persevere with a smile. When you put on your faith, you are able to know, even if, like the prayer that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego made, we would not even answer you, O King, over these matters, because we know our God can deliver us. But even if faith is also faith that is switched on. Hello? The even if faith is also one that is switched on, even if God does not rescue me from this, I still will hold on to him. Even if they will come and lock that door, my faith will still be unwavered. Even if I am standing in a place and it seems I'm all alone, I will still hold on. Even if I seem as if there's no school fees and I needed to pay this, I needed to pay that, I will still hold on, even if. Because the even if faith tells you, even if it does not work out the way you wanted it to work out, it does not mean that God has stopped loving you. The even if faith. And that even if faith is what we need in this season. Are you tracking with me this morning? So even as we move forward and as we talk through the way forward, we have come from a place of talking through how church was. And we've talked through how we have done things over a number of years and what we aim to do even as we move forward. And part of what we've been communicating is that whole aspect of coming off even that sense of rebuilding, that God is doing a new thing. That is reformation that is happening, a new reformation. And when we're talking about a new reformation, we're talking about that church can't be the same way we've been doing it over and over again. But we aspire that how our services and how church would look like would be that there would be more of us stepping into maturity more than anything else. Because we've seen as well, there's that whole aspect from the time when COVID came. One of the key things that was taken away was us being able to congregate. Even Connect has been affected in terms of people not seeing each other on a face-to-face basis. And we kept asking ourselves and really asking, is God calling us back to do things the same way that we've been doing over and over again? Or is he calling us into a new type of dispensation? Let's proceed. And so as we talk about this, we introduce that we are being called to have innovative methods in terms of us being able to reach our city, to tap into our callings, and to into what? Our city, then what? His church. This is a very good test. So I test Frank and see. Everyone is saying me, I know, but test Frank. But anyway, let me talk through where we want to go as a church. Then I think we will be able to finish off from there and then continue from this point. But our heart still remains, and Ben has put the leakage on the screen, that we are able to reach our city, and we know that it is his church and that all of us have our individual callings. And that remains. And as we close our eyes and as we think through our city, we know that God has called us to be able to impact and to influence our city. Hello? That God has called us that this church will have influencers and social influencers and influencers, both in government, in the county level, and in all spheres. We also have a call to be able to reach to the creative arts, to those who are creative, and to those who are feeling weird. If you feel weird, this is a place for you, but do not remain in your weirdness. But at the same time, we have a passion whereby we love God and we love the people that are in this family of ours. And that's why we have to be mindful of each other. If I don't see Kimani, I'm not waiting for his group leader or his connect leader to reach out to him. I reach out to him first and foremost. Hello? Because we are family. Yeah? That song, "We Are Family," came to mind. We are family. And we have to act like family, not pretend to be family. Hello? So this whole period of time, 2021, we are going to keep doing experiments in terms of how we keep rolling out tempo table technology. No one came and said, hey, we came and we found that the setup of the church was a bit different. Frank said, I said. But yeah, and it's not just even in terms of how we do our service, in terms of how we do delivery of our preach. We want it to be more equipping. And that's why part of that includes being given something practical that you can work with, something practical that you can apply in the course of the week. And I'm really praying that we'd start off even in applying how we switch on our faith, because this is a hallmark of where we are. If only this number of people who are seated here and those who are at home would switch on their faith, then our city will be changed. Hello? Let me say it again. If only this number of people who are seated here and those who are in their workplace, not workplaces, in their homes would switch on their faith, our city would be changed. That as you walk into your office, Kevin, on Monday morning. You've switched on your faith. Even your boss is coming to ask you what is wrong with you, because they are just seeing that you have the joy of the Lord. And you know what? Joy is infectious. Then we can infect others. So 2021, it would be a matter of experiments here and there. So please bear with us. Bear with us. Bear with us in us, even as we roll out the technology and how that looks like. Bear with us even as we talk through how the connect, which will be table, how it would look like. It is all geared towards one goal and one goal alone, so that it can be able to produce mature disciples who are able to live in the rhythm of God's perfect love. That's the focus. That's where we are heading into. That all of us will be mature disciples walking in God's perfect love. So, when you talk about mature discipleship, there are four things I want to talk through this morning. And this document will be made available for all of us so that we can be able to have it, we can be able to make ourselves acquainted to it, and more than anything, we can start even praying into it. So, when we talk about mature disciples, there are four criteria that can be able to describe such an individual or such persons. One is ones who are able to self-govern their spirituality. Hello? Hello? Ones who are able to do what? Self-govern their Christianity. So Joshua chapter 5 from verse 12. I'll read some passages here and there even as we continue. It says that no manna appeared on the day they first ate. Sorry? No manna appeared on the day they first ate from the crops of the land, and it was never seen again. So from that time on, the Israelites ate from the crops of Canaan. I'll paraphrase and give you the storyline behind this. All this time, what used to give them food was manna that fell from heaven. Until the day when they were able to fetch food for themselves. Until the day when they could be able to govern themselves. So at that point, manna stopped coming from heaven. And they started eating from that from the crops that were in the land that they had just walked into. What does this mean? Partly to what I was saying. Once we are able to self-govern ourselves, we'll be able to know how to feed by ourselves. We'll be able to know how we can pick our food, our manual, open it up by ourselves, read it by ourselves, and be able to find words that God is saying to us all by ourselves. And a practical example is this to all those who are parents in this place. If you have a child, 1 year down the line, let me use this example, 1 year down the line, or 2 years down the line, they do not know how to pick a fork by themselves to feed themselves. Not a fork, sorry. That plastic fork. Let me be clear. That plastic fork, or be able to pick up food by themselves to eat, there's a problem. Hello? Let me say it again. If you have a child 2 years down the line, all they can do is look to you for food, there's a problem. But growth has to be in place whereby they can be able to start feeding by themselves. And that's the call that we are having. That Sunday, as I said, Sunday is a top-up. This is a top-up that you're receiving. But you cannot survive on top-up. Though it's a heavy thing that I'm saying, it's like a heavy meal, but still it's a top-up. And it is topping up you feeding yourself in the course of the week. Hello? So we must learn how to feed by ourselves. We must learn how, when we are praying, we are not praying for you, we are praying with you. We are agreeing with you. We are agreeing with what you're already praying over yourself. And this is where we are heading to, into that place, into that space of being mature, whereby every single day we are living in daily rhythms of personal revival. Every single day. every single day we are living in personal revival and not waiting for the church to say, we are going to call for a revival meeting. They are very nice. But revival meetings are also just top-ups. They are just top-ups. And that we will be disciples who are marked by hunger, passion, and resilience. Key things. And we are going to delve more into this as we continue on. Second thing, that we will be marked as well by holistic transformation. And you can read up on Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 15. Ephesians, to those who are from kindergarten, Ephesians. Kwa wengine wetu, Ephesians. And it says, instead we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. That we will continue to walk the journey of holistic transformation that God is doing in us. And part of how that looks like is, even like from last Sunday, us talking through personal audits, heart audits, and constantly allowing the transformative power of Christ to continuously change our hearts, to work on those gray areas, to allow God to shed a light on the things that you do not feel comfortable in him shedding a light on, and continuously walking in the transformative power of Christ, and continuously allowing God to change you, to prune you, and to make you. And by this, that we'll continue to be disciples being made holy, whole, and wholehearted. That our God is holy. And we cannot confuse that. And we cannot walk away from that. And at the same time, he's calling us to walk in holiness, and he's calling us to be holy, whole, that the places and the pieces that we need to allow him to put back together, we do that with grace. Because you know what? He is so careful, he's so gentle of a father, that we can trust our hearts and our whole selves in his hands. Are we together? Hello? We have been quiet all of a sudden. That we will be able to have healthy community. And by healthy community, is that we'll be able not to just see each other as, let me rephrase it differently. That we will know that we belong. That we will know that each and every one of us, we have a part to play. That each and every one of us is important in this body, in this congregation, that all of us matter. Hello? Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 16, that he makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each does its own special work. That each of us do our own special work. And you know what? In this community as well, being in a community means what? You have responsibilities. It's like being in a family. You have responsibilities. And with this, it means that each of us is important. That none of us is called to be a spectator. Hello? That each of us is able to contribute. Each and every one of us is important towards building the unity. And each and every one of us is called to be able to be disciples expressing their love through their vulnerabilities. The last bit, I'll finish up with this. Missional living. Missional living. That each of us will be engaging in the redemptive rhythm of kingdom power. And that means each and every one of us being living, active witnesses again, and being able to represent Christ every place we go. Would we be on our feet standing? Tuneza simama. Even as Frank and the team comes. I've in a way tried to summarize the first part. There's a second part, but there is a document that we'll send out in the course of this week for us to look through and just be able to start praying into. But in saying all this, in saying in terms of where we are heading, there are two things I'll ask of each and every one of us, both at home and both here in the sanctuary. That would you make a decision to be part of this place that God is calling us to step into? Would you make a decision from your heart that you're going to walk into this whole aspect of being a mature disciple and allowing God to touch on anything that he needs to touch on? And would you allow us as a church the grace again, because it's a destination we are heading into together, and you can hit a bump on the way as you figure out exactly how this thing looks like. But would we be family that we would figure this thing together? Would we make a decision from our hearts that one, we would be part of this community? And more than anything else, that would make a decision that would step into maturity, and that we'll be living witnesses all across where we step into. So Lord, we thank you and we glorify your holy name. Father, we thank you for where you're calling us to step into. We thank you for grace that, Lord, has been poured for each and every one of us. Lord, you calling us into a place of being mature disciples. We ask that, Lord, would you give us the grace that is needed? We ask, would you give us the momentum that is needed? Would you give us the heart that is needed to walk into all that you're calling us to walk into? Lord, we ask the Lord you'd give us again the knowledge and the understanding of how to be able to switch on our faith. Lord, I'm praying again even for that person standing here and they're even asking, how do I switch on my faith? That, Lord, would you give them and grant them to walk in this journey of how they can remain alive, how they can turn on this switch. Ask for the even if faith to just grow to in each and every one of our hearts. And of everything else, Lord, we ask that your grace, your power, we bless you and we glorify your name. Lord, have your way in us. Have your way, Lord, in us. Have your way in us, Lord. Lord, we also pray for those back at home and those who are here in the service, who are raising their hands and they're saying, Lord, I need to increase my faith. And so, Lord, we ask, let there be an increase in people's faith in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask for a fresh hunger for your word to rise. Lord, we ask for a fresh hunger for you to rise. Lord, we ask for a fresh hunger for you to rise. Lord, quiet every voice of the enemy that has tried to dampen and to steal our joy and our faith. And Lord, we speak that, Lord, we'll be so conscious of our faith levels that we'll constantly feel these tanks of our faith. Lord, we thank you. May we find that the anchor holds in the midst of the storms, in the midst of the floods, in the midst of everything that is thrown our way. Lord, as we march out of this, Lord, an army coming out, and an army full of strength, an army full of zeal, an army full of power, an army full of the favor, and poised and ready to be able to impact the places that we step into. And so, Lord, we speak that, Lord, the same zeal, the same oomph, the same courage, the same boldness will earmark and will mark our lives from this day going forward. Lord, may you do a new thing in us. 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 So, Lord, we thank you. And to you be all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. For there is none like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.